Figueras together again. Have we had a chance to see some Saluki games on television and listen to the post-game show from the coach and that sort of thing the past couple of weeks or not?
Not really. I've always been busy on the days of the games, and same as yesterday, I was out of town yesterday and didn't get a chance to listen to him at all.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think we had some good perspective from Todd Hefferman and from his car on his way back from Springfield three or four Saturdays ago, and he was in studios a couple of Saturdays ago talking about the Salukis. Your colleague at the Southern, I think he expected SIU to come up on the short end of the stick against both Wichita State and Indiana State.
Well, you know, you would hope that that they would have pulled off that second upset of Wichita. They played well in that game, and they played well against the Sycamores on the road yesterday. You know, they're once again in the middle of their late season run. It takes about this long in the season for the kids to understand what Barry Hinson wants, and we saw it last year. Now, I think the only thing we got to think about now is where they end up in the tournament and whether they have a good first game or not. Last year they didn't. They didn't have a good first game, and it soured him on the team. And he got rid of most everybody and brought back only a few players. And so this year, let's see what happens. It looks like that you know, there are some people for real, beans for real. So I think this is the beginning of an uptick that will just start get better next year when he brings back most of his players and they're all in the system and he tinkers with the lineup next year and not overhauls it.
One of the last times I talked to Mike Baker on the phone about the Salukis, it may have been a week or 7 or 8 or 9 days ago. He said, "Mark, I'm kind of a results-oriented guy." Okay, so the last two games, you've watched every minute on television. What say you?
Well, I. Again, sure, you have to be results-oriented, but I believe that the Salukis are the team that their record reflects. So, I mean, otherwise you're going to say, well, something's happened to give them a worse record than the team they are. No, they are, I see them as being the team where, you know, that they're in the right position there. And as far as the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, sure, I mean, at this point, that's all we have to look forward to is a good showing in the conference tournament, but obviously we're not going to win the tournament and probably not going to go anywhere in the tournament, but it gives us something to hope for.
Both of you guys are looking down the road a little bit. What did you see yesterday?
What I saw yesterday was the same thing that I've seen in every Saluki loss, is that, and this, and people dismiss me, brush me off on this, and they think I don't know what I'm talking about, but if you can't make a free throw, you're not going to win that game. The Salukis shooting 55%, something in the 50% from the line, never, ever going to win a game.
Especially on the road.
Never going to win a game like that. They haven't won a game like that. They're not going to win a game. The games that they looked good, that they surprised us, the games that they made us proud and pulled out the win, they shot 70% from the line. That was the difference. You lose by 3 points and you missed 11 free throws, then you're going to lose, you know. And
so the rest of the aspects of the game at Terre Haute against the Sycamores
did good enough to win.
You think the Salukis did good enough?
Good enough to win. If it started, I saw this in the first Missouri State game where they lost. Because they lost because of free throws, okay? And then, in a pregame interview before the Indiana State game, Mike Reese mentioned it to Coach Henson, "I bet you guys practiced free throws over, you know." And he said, yeah, we did. Well, they came out and they made free throws and they made field goals and they shot a high percentage and they concentrated and they won the game. And we were so proud. And, you know, in every game, the Wichita State game, of course, they lost by 11. They missed 10 free throws. So, there's a point there to make up one way or the other. But like I'm saying, in the games that they shoot well from the line, they also shoot a higher percentage from the field. So, you know, the whole thing is this. I mean, I don't care who you are, what the name of your team is. If you're shooting 55% from the line, you're not going to win. The other team can just foul you, and it's as good as a stop. It's as good as a defensive stop. You just foul them. You know, they're not going to make it. Then, of course, the other team shoots a better free throw percentage, and they win the game. It's that simple.
Well, I've seen that this week. I've been watching, covering girls' tournament basketball, and I've seen, and I've actually seen free throws costing a game. So
they've cost the Salukis the game.
Well, yeah, they're for the season they're shooting 67%. They've missed 100 free throws for the season.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is they're averaging 67.8 points a game and giving up 67.8 points a game. And they've missed 100 free throws. So,
it just goes to show you what you say.
I wonder what the average is nationwide for mid-major and above.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're giving up 71.5, so
yeah.
Which isn't, you know, that much better. So,
yeah, the games in which they've lost, they've shot 55%. The games that they've won, they've shot 70%. That's how you get their average at 60-something percent.
67.
Yeah, 67%. It's that simple. You shoot in the 50%, you lose. If you can get into shoot 70%, you're going to win, Salukis.
Yeah, see, I think it's a little more complicated than that.
That's what most people say.
But it's certainly related to that. I looked at the game yesterday, and it seems to me that this is the standard sort of what's turning out to be something like the Bausch theorem for college basketball. Jake Odom more or less won that game for Indiana State yesterday. Okay? He's a senior guard. Anthony Bean played well, but he's a sophomore guard. If Anthony Bean had been a fourth-year senior and Jake Odom had been a second-year sophomore, SIU would have won that game yesterday.
Yeah.
It's almost that simple. We're still... You don't want to blame the Chris Lowry for everything that goes on, but the guy in there now, Barry Hinson, the game is all about talent and experience. Talent and experience. And you can look at SIU's roster. They've got a couple of guys that can score at the beginning of the season. What did we say?
Right.
Other than Bean and Desmar Jackson, who else is going to score points for SIU?
Yeah.
Here's the answer. What do freshmen do? And what do transfer students do? They're on and they're off.
They're on and they're off.
Yeah. They have a good game or two, and then they disappear for a couple of games.
I was just going to throw
and
in...
And by the time those boys become men, and juniors and seniors, are they going to contribute at a solid level? And is SIU going to win games like they did, like they didn't do yesterday? I say yes.
Yeah. Well,
free throws or not.
Jake Odom is in the 80% of free throw shooter, about an 89% free throw shooter, and we saw how that worked. He came down, he drew the foul, not even meaning to try to make the shot. When it was crucial in the game, he drove the basket, took the foul, made the shots. He missed one free throw in the game. He missed one free throw, and that was rare. They made a big deal about it. Oh, my gosh, he missed a free throw. He made free throws, and that won the game. They won by 3 points.
Well, you can't blame Bean. He didn't even take a shot.
No, free throws. That's correct. No, that's right. But, Denniston and I have been doing this silly radio junk for more than a decade now, and goodness gracious, when Kent Williams was a freshman, even part of his sophomore year, the Salukis weren't that good. What they were okay, but what happened when a guy that you could depend on became an upperclassman and there was some talent around him? When the game was close at the end, did those Bruce Weber-led Kent Williams squads, did they win almost every one of those games? Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. And the Salukis have Desmar Jackson to counter for a Jake Odom. And of course, he's a senior.
Not the same guy.
And he hasn't played with Salukis for 4 years.
Right.
But he is a senior and a good player. And you think he won't be sorely missed. He will be.
Oh, he will be.
And I'll tell you why. Because he's about the second or third in the upper echelon of players in the Valley. And you can't take the second best player in the Valley or third best player in the Valley away from your team and not miss him.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever the young guys do, they're not going to be second best in the Valley.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe there is a second best on the Valley on this team, or there's one in the next recruiting class. Who knows?
Well, we've hit on this before on this program, Gary. I forget if you were on the air or not, my guess is you weren't listening, but this kid, Sean O'Brien, he's on, he's off. But put that at the time, the second half of his junior year, he's going to be as good as Rick Shipley was. I can tell. He's going to be as good as Rick Shipley was. And Anthony Bean, he's going to be good as Chris Lowry was as a senior. And Chris Lowry was second team Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be better. But these guys are still young. And this guy, Bola, Bola O. Well, how do you pronounce his last name? Olenayan? He's going to be good, but has he been occasionally good? But he's still young. What's he? Up and down. By the time he's a junior, is he going to be a contributor? Yes. So, I'm not carrying the SIU flag on this program, and I haven't for years. Anybody knows that. But there is reason to be optimistic.
I think so, too. I think the only ones who seem to have taken a little step back over the last couple of years has been Drinkard, of course. He didn't progress the way everybody thought he might. And I think Pendleton has taken a little step back.
Well, Pendleton, what? Come on. He'll be a good combo guy who could play 20 minutes a game and defend.
Well, at one point, you know, he looked like he was going to turn into something on the offensive side, and I think he's taken a step back on that.
And how was he getting those points? Like, as Rich Herron used to say, I think he invented the word, frankly, stickbacks. He's good at being 6'2" and figuring out how to jump quick and get the ball and put it back in quickly. You're not going to have Pendleton handle the ball ever in crunch time, are you?
No, but I think, you know, he was on the up, and I think he's either even or on the down right now.
Yes, I think he's even, and I would think by the time he's a junior or senior, he'll still be here. He'll be playing 10 minutes a half.
And he'll be on the even still.
And he'll be shutting guys down. Right. There's room for players like that in the Valley, don't you think, Eric?
Well, there's room for players like that on this team if you have the other players that are taking what he should be doing. But a role player is very good on a team, and he's a role player. But still, like I said, he looked like he was going to develop into something more, and I think he's taken a step back this year.
The guy that I'm not mentioning, Smith Peters, who first couple times I called him Kyle. Of course, it's Tyler Smith Peters. He's gonna be a contributor by the time he's a senior.
I think so too. He added 8 points yesterday,
he's going to contribute. So I'm thinking positive. So.
And I think Henson has really warmed to him, too. He's putting him more in more situations.
So I don't expect next year's recruits to contribute to the point where three of them are going to combine for 30 or 32 or 35 points a game. That's not going to happen. But can these guys grow a year, and can next year's recruits begin to be the grout? Yeah. I think so. And so what does this point out? You know, Gary didn't want to mention the guy's name. This program was in a death spiral. And this is showing just how bad off the program was under Chris Lowry. That's what it's showing. I don't see any other explanation.
And I think you can actually tell that Henson has righted the ship a lot quicker than a lot of people thought he could, considering the hole that he was in, and he mentions the hole he was in, if you talk to him.
Yeah, if I didn't see just an occasional flash from Bola, and O'Brien looks like he's going to be able to play out high and drive to the hoop, and Smith Peters is going to be able to shoot and distribute some. I don't think Smith Peters is a point guard, but I could be wrong. I think I really have reason to be optimistic, and of course, the, you know, 25... Can score the ball. So
I agree.
So there's four players right there.
And I think Smith Peters is more suited for the shooting guard spot and or the wing spot, I think. He's a little more suited for that than being a point guard.
Yeah, the trouble is then he's going to have to defend, really. Yeah.
Well, if he can hit the three, you know, just remember, Korver is still in the NBA hitting a three.
I know it.
Yeah, you know, you,
he's a good example of that.
Yeah, you guys are speaking to the fan in me, and I am a diehard Saluki fan with the optimistic talk, you know, and I would agree with you. It's easy to get right. You know, to be optimistic about it, but Mr. Results Oriented myself that walked in here, actually, you know, the Salukis are not doing that much better than they did in the past. We'll see with their overall record.
No.
They're not going to finish above 500.
Oh,
they can't.
They can't. There's four games left, and they've only won 10 so
their
far.
Their record is going to be similar to what it was last year. If not, they might not even equal their last year's record.
They may not win more than a dozen. And the fact that they wouldn't surpass last season is a testament to two things. This year's schedule is tougher. All right. Number two is, I think if you look historically, coaches that tear down programs and leave, year two is sometimes worse than year one for the following coach.
Now, you also got a lot of new players. And the tougher schedule, like I said, right now, they are in the same thing happened last year.
Same thing happened last year, as they
got hot toward the end of the season.
Right.
And this is what's happening now. Now, if they took a little longer to get hot, and that may be good.
Right.
They may still be in their hot when the tournament starts.
Right. Gary, did you see what I saw? I didn't fully realize this a few days ago. In fact, now I was in Chicago and checked it out. I think there's only three teams in the Valley whose overall records are over 500.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. My friend Mike Baker never likes hearing this because he's a fan, and this was true 3 and 4 years ago. Oh, the Valley's this, the Valley's this. This year, especially, the Valley is down.
They're down. You've got one good team, and then, but I was noticing, Mark, yesterday, before the Indiana State game, I wanted to check Indiana State and see who they beat.
They beat somebody early in the year.
Who they beat, exactly.
Yep.
And they're not a bad team results-wise. They've got a decent record. They've only had 3 losses in the Valley, 11 wins. I think overall now they're 20-6, in Indiana, if I'm correct on that. Indiana State, I mean, and they're a decent team, and that's what gives us Saluki fans even more of a thrill, because we almost beat a decent team. But
we almost beat
Wichita State, but let me say this. Sometimes appearances can fool you, because the good teams that have all those wins and stuff, they do just what it takes to win the game. They do enough to pull that game out. And even though it looked like the Salukis...
We're supposed to have two more guests here. But in fact...
You know what I'm saying.
Everything you're saying is right.
Yeah.
And if you've got Jake Odom or Kent Williams on your team, you win those games.
Right. And if you make free throws.
SIU does not have the experience to win those games. It's almost that simple. And that points to how empty the cupboard was from the previous couple.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to Iron Mike here, and I keep wondering, which Iron Mike was this? I miss the glass half full Iron Mike. this guy with the glass almost empty Iron Mike is a bit strident, I tell you.
Mike was day-to-day a couple of Saturdays ago. I said this. I don't know if he listened at home or not. I don't think he did. He has some back. He's out there in the fields toiling or something or other. And his back was bothering him. I've been saying this now for the past 3 or 4 times I've been on the air over a couple of months. Bola has shown flashes. Smith Peters has shown flashes. Bean can fill it up. Pendleton can play a reserve role. And O'Brien is going to be Rick Shipley. At the very worst, he's going to be Rick Shipley. So I say the future looks bright.
Losing Filial hurt, I think.
Yeah, you said that the other last time we talked.
Yes, I think that hurt the development of this team, because he was just rounding into that position.
Yeah, I didn't like what I saw with him, but I didn't see very much.
What I do like, and just to put a wrap on this, I know Mark wants to move on, but I tell you what I do like about this team. I like seeing Tyler Smith Peters from Harrisburg State. Played in the state championship game. I like seeing the two boys from Woodlawn on the team. Even Jalen Pendleton, Evansville product. We got some good local talent, and I like to see that.
Chris Lowry and Rick Shipley.
Exactly. I like to see the Salukis coming from the local cupboard there, that they're selecting them and live or die with the good local talent that we have, So I think I speak for Saluki fans in saying that we like to see that.
Mm-hmm. Gary, could you take a couple of minutes? You did some girls basketball out of Murfreesboro.
Yes, I saw Carterville beat Murfreesboro. Carterville's a very good team. They're a sweet shooting team, I tell you. If you want to see somebody who knows how to shoot the ball, watch the Carterville girls. They beat Murfreesboro, and Murfreesboro's on the upswing. Murfreesboro has a very good team. This is the second year under John Marston, and last year he put in a third of his program. This year he put in 2/3, and next year he's only losing one player, his point guard, and everybody else is young on that team, and he'll put in the last third of his program. He's from Colorado. I like him very much. I like the way he does things. But Carterville is good, and it'll be interesting to see what they do in the against Breeze Central in the sectional.
You fortunate enough to be covering that game?
No, I'm being sent to Trico. I get to see the Trico sectional this week. I start off with Trico against Gorville on Monday, and then I'm back there on Thursday. Otherwise, I get to see the Murfreesboro boys go to Benton on Friday night, and then I'm by the phones instead of being upstate to watch the state tournament. I'm at home this time. I went to Robinson yesterday and spent the day up there ran into some sticky weather, and it was snowing when I left around 6:30 up there last night. I'll be burning up the phones this Saturday.
So next Saturday the media dining room up there is safe.
Yes. Funny you should say that.
Yes.
I want to tell you right now, and I want to state this for the record. Yesterday, all I had was a cup of chili and a tiny sloppy Joe. That's all I had during the whole day up there. So sometimes stereotypes or sometimes I make an effort to make sure they don't come true all the time.
Fair enough. But
before we go, I want to say that we got 21 kids that are going to state, 1A and 2A, 3 from Carbondale. Benton did real well yesterday. They got 2 sectional champions and a number 2. Their freshman finished number 2. Out of 3 kids, they took up 3, and 3 moved on.
What weight class was the freshman from Benton?
106.
Little guy.
And he's not that little for a 106, to be quite honest. And he's a very good freshman. He lost a very tough match by 1 point. So he could have very well have won that one.
You think this guy could take Mike Baker?
I think anybody could take Mike Baker.
My brother wrestled at 106 from Carterville, and he went undefeated in his senior year. When he went to the state, he couldn't make the weight, and he ended up.
Oh my goodness!
He ended up losing there. He
went up to 114 or something.
Yeah, he did, and. Couldn't handle the bigger class, but he actually went undefeated in his senior year.
Well, this kid, Oliver Davis,
106.
This Oliver Davis, he's 34-4.
Good deal.
He lost a 6-5 decision to a Wood River kid. So
let's aim to do this again next week, Gary. Okay.
Well, we'll try. Evidently, you have other things to do. Evidently.
I tell you what, I'll do next weekend show. And you can spend the weekend with my mother-in-law.
Evidently, you have other things to do.
All right.
On a regular basis,
we'll talk again soon. Thanks, Gary.
That's Gary Denniston live from Carbondale. Mike Baker alongside. It's fun to do this silly program with good friends. I know our listeners appreciate that as well. It's 10:30. I am Mark Bausch. It's the WDBX Sunday Sports Review. Hope my mother-in-law's not listening on the Internet. We'll be right back.